Please get your Bibles and open to the book of Revelation chapter 20. I'll be reading verses 11 through 15 in just a moment. That is Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, one thing that we are all aware of in life is the fact that God knows and sees all things. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, and verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So he knows everything about us. There is no hiding from him. There is no sneaking around him. He knows it all. He knows our sins. Again, Paul in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He also knows the consequences of our sins, which is found in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, what I want us to discuss tonight is I would like for us to ask ourselves the question, is your name written in the book? We have been singing songs about the book. We've read the scripture about the book. At the end of time, the books, it says, will be opened, and another book will be opened, which is the book of life. This book will or will not contain your name and mine. As we go through our lives from day to day, those of us who understand Christianity, those of us who understand God's law, we probably know right now at this very minute whether or not our name is actually in the book. So I want to talk about our names being in the book of life. The book of life itself is used as a term that is used to describe several things. First of all, it is used to describe a geological record which was given in the times of the Old Testament. In Nehemiah chapter 7 and verse 5, it says, then my God put into my heart to gather the nobles, the rulers, and the people that they might be registered by genealogy. And I found a register of the genealogy of those who had come up in the first return and found written in it. Another thing about the book of life is that in that day and time, names could be blotted out of the book of life. In Exodus chapter 32, verses 31 and 33, we find that Moses sought to intervene for Israel, whose names was going to be removed from the book of life. Now, we're going to talk about that a little later on in the lesson. And then over in the New Testament, the book of life is used as a register for those who will receive eternal life. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. And I urge you also, true companion, to help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So when the book of life is opened, we will know beyond a shadow of a doubt whether or not our names are there. We read that from verse 12 of our text. Now, the next question is, how can I be sure that my name is in the book of life? Well, it's a simple answer, and that means obedience. Obedience to God. You know, it takes more than just calling on the name of the Lord to be saved. As many of our religious friends will teach you, that all you need to do is call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Now, Jesus makes it very clear. There is more to this salvation than just calling on the name of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Then it says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God has the power to save. His gospel is the means to give us the power to save. Paul tells us this in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, for everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also for the Greek." But you know, it takes more than just this belief in order to obtain salvation. That is only part of the gospel. There are many parts of the gospel that we must also put into our lives in order to obtain salvation. Now, the believing part is important. And we know this from something that happened in Acts chapter 16 in verse 31 with Cornelius and his household. When he asked what he needed to do to be saved, he was told, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." And that's a very important thing. In fact, that's the first thing you have to have, is the faith. Before you can move on in your relationship with God, the faith, the believing, has to be there. But then there's more to it. There is a repenting part, or a changing of your life part, that must take place. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, we hear Peter speaking here, and he says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." So this scripture is telling us now, it's not a belief issue anymore. It is a repentance issue now. Well, also Jesus makes this point in Luke 13 and verse 3, where he said, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish." So these two verses tell me and you that there is more to believing to be obtaining salvation. There must be a change of life, a repentance of sin. But again, there's more to it than that. There is also a public confessing of the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. Paul tells us this in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. He said, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Okay, now we have changed directions again. We're not talking about belief anymore. We're not talking about repentance anymore. Now we're talking about acknowledging Jesus Christ for who he is and whose son he is, which is also a prerequisite of salvation, as Paul has mentioned here. And then finally, there is baptism as a part of the gospel of Christ. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, he tells us that there is an antitype to the flood that saves us. Baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it saves us. Now, we've moved again into another direction. We're not talking about belief anymore. We're not talking about repentance anymore. We're not talking about confession anymore. Now we're talking about baptism. And if you will take note of these passages of scriptures that are on the screen, each one of these passages of Scripture stand alone. The others are not mentioned. Now that tells us one of two things. God is either giving us an opportunity to choose which one of these things we want to do for salvation, or He is telling us that we must do them all. Which one do you think it is? It is all. We cannot leave any one of these out, because there is not one of these in this list that is of lesser importance than the others. All are of equal value. They stand alone, and they tell us, because they stand alone, they are important and they must be obtained. All must be carried out to have salvation. But you know, it still doesn't end there. Once you take these steps, once you become that child of God, the Christian also has obligation within himself as a child of God. We must remain faithful to God in service, in dedication, in love, in determination for the rest of our lives. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, you can flip that verse around and it can say, if you do not be faithful until death, what is not going to happen? The crown of life. We must be faithful unto death. All of these are necessary because they're part of the book of life. Now, here's something else that we need to know. I stated earlier from the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 32 that names could be blotted out of this book. Names can also be blotted out. Let's go back to that verse again. Exodus 32 and verse 33. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now, some are going to say, well, now, you know, that's talking about the sins of the children of Israel. This is talking about something that happened back under the Old Testament. I am not under the Old Testament anymore, and we're not under the Old Testament law anymore. So let's move over to the New Testament. Let's go all the way to the book of Revelation, chapter 20 and verse 19. Listen to these words. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Now, I know John wrote this, and he wrote this based upon the revelation that was given to him about the times of Jerusalem of that time. But verse 18 or verse 19, along with verse 18, which talks about adding to the words in the prophecy of this book, the principle of it stands out for all of us as Christians. Don't alter, don't tamper with God's word. The result for you if you alter and tamper with God's word is you will be removed from the book of life. That's what these verses are saying. So we need to be careful that we do indeed continue that faithful life to God, that life of service, that life of love, that life of dedication, because if we fail in this, our names will be removed from the book of life. Now, with this knowledge in mind, I ask the question again. Is your name written there? Can you think about the things of your life that might have your name removed from that? You know, God has made it so easy for you to obey Him. And Jesus pleads with you to obey Him. This plea comes from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, which is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. God has made it so easy for us to have that salvation. Have you obeyed God's plan of salvation? Have you been washed in the soul-saving blood? And I love the way Peter says it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. He said, yet you were redeemed, but you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold or your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Have you received that blood washing that saves your soul? Are you walking in the Spirit of God? We are told to walk with God in our lives. 1 John 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So are you walking in that Spirit? Are you walking with God? Is it a daily walk? Is it a continuous walk? That's what we must do in order to obtain this salvation. Are you doing the works of the Father? You know, I preached on works this morning and how important it is that each one of us carry out the works that God has for us to do. James tells us in James 1 verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Deception is something that God will have no part of, and you would be surprised how many people try to deceive God by hiding or concealing their works or putting forth the idea that they have works when in reality they don't. So there's a lot to obtaining and maintaining your name in the book of life. There are things that we must do to put our names there, to have God write our names in that book. And yet there are also things that we can do to cause God to erase our names from that book. One last time, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? I want to read to you one more passage. You've already heard it once. Now, with these thoughts in mind, I want you to listen to it again. And listen very carefully. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, each one, according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My friends, when you stand before God in judgment, you will know then for certain whether or not your name is written there. It may be that you know today that there is some reason that your name would not be found in that book. And if you have those thoughts today, if there is anything that will remove your name or keep your name from being in the book of life, correct that today. If you are not a Christian, give your life to him. Love him. Serve him. Be determined in your life to live for him so that he will put your name in his book. And if you as a Christian have things in your life that would have caused him to remove your name, repent of that, change that, and come back to God so that once again He will put your name in His book. That's the goal of every one of us in this room, is to have our name found in God's book of life. If you fear that it is not, respond tonight. Make the changes that you need to make in your life so that you will be found in the book of life. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come as we sing of number 261.